hope. Some of us may not. If you want, I'm still thinking I have glasses on. If you don't mind, turn your Bibles to Luke 10. So two things that I want us to take from this passage of Scripture. And it's a lot of Scripture. I'm just going to kind of take a few verses at a time and not necessarily expositorily break them down, but just some things that stick out that are very important for us. Because again, I believe that God wants us all to go. And we're going to see in this passage how two things. First thing is this: God sends us out. He still does that. He sends us out. Okay? And secondly is that the importance of making ourselves available. Loving people in boldness. It's hard to love the unlovable sometimes, isn't it? We all have those people in our lives. And not worrying about what people think about us or what they may say about us. To just go. To just go. I believe that, I know I don't necessarily have a sense of urgency for the lost. And I think that we should. All of us should have a sense of urgency to share the gospel with the lost. So since those two things, verses 1 through 4 in chapter 10 of the book of Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and He sent them ahead of Him in pairs to every town and place where He Himself was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. Now go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, or sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road." These 70 men that Jesus was about to send out, they weren't maybe as close to Him as the 12 disciples were, but they still, all of them, heard His doctrine. They witnessed His miracles, and they believed in Him. So these were men that knew Jesus, okay? Had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus sent them in pairs so that they might be strengthened by each other and encouraged by each other, okay? And a lot of times when we share the gospel with people, it's okay to go alone, but if you're, you know, it's always good to have somebody with you. Now, I know sometimes we have the personal thing of a family member or a close friend, but when you have somebody with you, you don't go in intimidation. That's not the thing. But you go because there may be something somebody's going to forget. You know, if you haven't done it often, it is good to take somebody with you, okay? So these two were going, and Jesus sent them out in pairs for this reason. He says in verse 2 that the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Let me tell you, church, nothing has changed. For the 7+ billion people that are in this world, I looked it up and did a little bit of research. About 2.3 billion people claim to be Christian or a part of Christianity. So we have our work cut out for us. The harvest is plenty, abundant. Workers are few. Workers are few. So go back to that question. Have you ever shared the gospel with somebody? Have you led somebody to Christ? Okay? There are dying souls all around us. And we have to pray, and He tells us to pray. So we've got to be in prayer for ourselves. We have to be in prayer for others around us to go with boldness, okay? And to live with a sense of urgency to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be bold, to make ourselves available to be used by the Lord, because that's what it is. There's two types of people sitting here today. You're either available and you make yourself available, or you're not available because you're closed, you're closed-minded, or maybe you don't feel like you're equipped, or you don't have the tools, or maybe, you know what, maybe some of you are not saved, and you don't even really understand what I'm talking about, much less able to go and share the gospel with somebody, okay? Listen, I think that, you know, why not we cry out like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:8, when God asked him, "Who should I send? Who will go? Who will go for us?" And what Isaiah do? He replied, what? "Here I am, send me." That's how I was on that bathroom floor in that dirty printing company. I didn't know what else to do. I just know that the calling on my life was so powerful. That's all I could do was say, "Here I am, send me." And He took care of the rest. Sometimes we, making ourselves available, you just say yes and let Him take care of the rest, okay? Jesus is telling all of us to be patient and calm and understanding of the law. Sometimes witnessing to a lost person, it can be difficult. Okay, persecution can and most likely will come when you're sharing the gospel. But he encourages here to be prayed up, just like he did the 70. All right, let's look at verses 5 through 12 real quick. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they offer, for the worker is worthy of his wages. Don't move from house to house. When you enter any town and then welcome you, and they welcome you, eat the things set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. When you enter your town, when you enter any town and they don't welcome you, go out into the streets and say, "We are wiping off even the dust of your town. We are wiping off even the dust of your town that clings to our feet as a witness against you. Know this for certain, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." We share our faith with others. We've got to go in peace and we've got to go in goodwill toward that person with a burden, a loving burden, okay? Having a loving burden, a passion for Christ and a passion for seeing that lost person come to know Jesus Christ. When we know we're going to have that gospel witness opportunity, be prayed up and go in love, okay? There could be questions that, look, there's been times that people have asked me certain questions and I didn't have the answer. I didn't know the answer. So I went back, did some research, and I got a hold of that person. Don't think you have to know every single little thing, okay? But if you go with in goodwill, in love for that person, okay? The success of our witness, anyway, is not up to us. Only Jesus knows a person's heart. The results are up to him. And not everybody is going to be open and receptive, and we have to understand that. I think he's warning them this, okay? You'll know during a witnessing opportunity if you have found favor in a person's eyes or not. And if they're teachable, and if they're going to be open. It's our job to go. It's our job to share. If someone rejects the gospel, the scripture is pretty clear that things will not end well for non-believers. Listen to this regarding the unrepentant towns that these men traveled to. In verses 13 through 16. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. Again, it's our responsibility to share. We've got to allow the results and leave the results up to Christ. It's not up to us. If they're rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. They're not rejecting you, okay? One thing is for certain. Repentance is necessary for salvation. If there is no repentance, there is no salvation. And the same is true for us, okay? Verses 17 through 24. I'm just hopping through these. I'm trying to get to the parable, okay? So they go out. They come back, okay? The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you." Verse 20, "However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I praise you, Father." This is Jesus. This is a red letter pledge here. "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him." Verse 23, then turning to his disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, but didn't see them, to hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them." So as these men returned from their journey, they were all filled with joy. They were excited about what happened. They didn't complain of fatigue. They didn't complain of the opposition and the discouragement that they had faced. But listen, they rejoiced. They rejoiced in their success, especially in casting out unclean spirits. And as they did that, they gave glory to Christ. When we have those opportunities to share, it's not about us. It's not us that gets the glory. You know, we don't go and share the gospel for a little notch in our belt. You don't get a little plaque on the wall. All we do should be for Him, by Him, and for Him. He gets the glory. We don't get the glory for that. Don't even want it. The 70 men found acceptance in from Jesus. He took notice of the success that they had on their journey. And then listen, what did He do? He directed that. He directed them to turn their joy into the right channel. Yes, they had success on the mission field, right? But Jesus wanted to remind them that their rejoicing should be more about knowing that they had eternal life and that they were children of God through faith. So most importantly, again, our relationship with Christ is very important. And what this is telling me, what we have is something that we should share. And I think there's a problem in our churches with Christians all across this world. And I don't know if it's doubt of what we believe. I don't know if it's being afraid. You know, I know how I get sometimes. Sometimes I do fear not knowing things. I do fear the opposition. I do fear being told no. The biggest thing is that we have to go. We've got to go. You know, in verse 21 and following, Jesus offers up a solemn thanksgiving to His Father because the gospel had progressed through the land. Satan had been defeated, and there were souls converted. Okay? Now watch what happens in the parable of the Good Samaritan. I want to kind of end with this and encourage us the best that I can. Verse 25. So then, figures it'd be a lawyer. Then an expert in the law stood up to test Him, saying, if there's any lawyers, I really didn't mean that as a pot shot. Okay? Stood up to test Him, saying, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus said. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify Himself, He asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And I wonder if sometimes we're like the expert in the law, though. We have a neighbor or a friend or a family member or maybe a spouse or a child. And we're trying to justify not, do they really need it? No, they already have it. No, it's okay to, look, I've witnessed to people in a church, okay? I've shared the gospel with people in churches, all right? You never know. It doesn't hurt to ask. I'm shaking my old... Listen, Jesus took up the question and said this. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. That's just like the world, isn't it? That was me, you guys. I was beat up. I was stripped of my dignity, my integrity. The things that I had going on in my life, they weren't good. The world didn't care. They just took everything they could from me. I had people that would steal from me and rob me blind, basically, when I was in that crowd. That's the way the world is. They beat us up. They don't care about us. They'll leave us half dead on the side of the road as long as they get something that they want from us. And a priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at that place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. I had that same thing happen to me. I had friends that were supposed to be believers that I knew went to church. Not one of them. Stephanie was about the only person in my life. Not even the girl that I went to the crusade with shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. Nobody shared the gospel with me. They just walked by me knowing that I had the drugs and the alcohol and the depression and everything else in my life. They did not care about me. They had no heart for me. but a Samaritan. I'm sorry, in the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at that place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him. And when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? "The one who showed mercy to him," he said. Then Jesus told him, "Go and do the same." Listen, I have a quote from Martin Luther King that really puts this in perspective. He says this about the parable of the Good Samaritan. He says this, "I imagine that the first question the priest and the Levite asked was, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' But by the very nature of concern, the Good Samaritan reversed the question. 'If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?'" Think about that. All of us have people in our lives lying there dying and going to hell because they don't have Jesus. There are people hurting all around us. You know, and I get the excuse all the time from people that, "Well, I'm not around lost friends." Okay, is that really a good answer? You may not have lost friends, but there are lost people out there. Go find them. Listen, there are people dying. Don't walk by them. Don't be the Levite. Don't be the priest. Be the Good Samaritan. Again, I don't know where I'd be if Steph did not be the Good Samaritan in my life. Okay? We have a responsibility to share the gospel. You have a story. Tell that story. Your story is his story. There's words in that song that we just sang, I want to close with. That song was called Rescue Story by Zach Williams, and the band did a great job of it. It opens up with these words. "There I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. I was that person. Maybe you are. Maybe you were. There you were in the shadows, holding out your hand. You met me there. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You are my rescue story." So I want you to go back in closing. I'm going to pray over us. And I want you to think about the questions that I asked a little bit ago. For one, think about the person that you shared the gospel with you, that God allowed to help rescue you. And I want you to thank them because that was huge. Okay? And then that person that you could share the gospel with. I hope you jotted that name down. And then, did you write your story out today? We all have a story. Okay? And I want to encourage everybody, tell your story to somebody this week. There are people out there that are dying, and they're not well, and they're not going to end up in a good place. God has somebody for all of us to share our story with. You've got to be bold and do so. Let's pray. I want to end the invitation. Let's do it this way today. You know, the altar's open. If there's somebody that you want to pray for, maybe it's that person that you jotted down that you need to share the gospel with, and you've been afraid, so afraid to do so. And maybe taking a step of faith and laying on the altar would be a good thing for you. Maybe that would give you some boldness. Now, I'm going to be down here. Brother Bill's going to be down here. If there's something that we can pray for you about, we'll be here. If you've been joining us for a little while, maybe today's the day that you want to join. That's part of the invitation as well. You can come do that today. If there's anything else that we can do for you, maybe, you know what, maybe you're lost today. And the things I said really didn't resonate with you because you don't have a relationship with Christ. Maybe today's the day that you say, "Here I am, send me." I'm going to pray, and the altar's open. Brother Bill and I will be down here. Lord, I love you. Thank you. God, thank you for giving me a story. God, thank you for bringing Steph and others into my life to help me understand what it truly means to be in a relationship with you, Jesus Christ. Grace, based on grace by faith alone. Lord, help us understand that today. God, I pray for those that are struggling today sharing their faith. God, give them boldness. I pray this time will honor you. God, we lift this time up to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good.